In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our text for today is the Gospel reading from St. John, which I've already read. In catechism class, we've been studying the Apostles' Creed. When we study the first article on creation, we go through Genesis chapter 1, and we take special care to note how God created everything. One of my main goals in doing so is to show that evolutionary theory and Christianity cannot go together. They're completely incompatible with one another, despite the fact that there are many Christians and theologians today that try to merge the two concepts into one. However, despite that, there's also another kind of side quest that I'm on when I'm teaching through Genesis 1. And it is to show how abundantly clear it is how powerful the Word of God is. If you were to look at the text of that chapter of the Bible in the Pew Bibles or at home, you would see that everything that is made in heaven and on earth was created only through the power of God's Word. So, for instance, when God said, "Let there be light," there was light. God spoke, and it was done. 502 years ago, this coming Wednesday, October 31st, Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg in Germany. Now, at that time, Luther had no designs on upending the churchly or political life of his day. He simply was doing what a German university professor did in those days. He wanted to debate some theological theses or points in an effort to clarify what the church was doing, namely by selling indulgences, which are basically certificates from the church that said a place in heaven was something that could be bought by making a donation to the church's building fund. What ensued, however, was the total upending of the theological landscape of Europe. As Luther continued to study the Word of God and in turn proclaim it from the pulpit, in the classroom, and in his writings, the gospel of the free forgiveness of sins won by Christ in his death on the cross as given to sinners through the Word and through the sacraments began to spread throughout Europe like wildfire. He famously quipped once, "I simply taught, preached, and wrote God's word. Otherwise, I did nothing. And while I slept or drank Wittenberg beer with my friends Philip and Amsdorf, the word so greatly weakened the papacy that prince or emperor ever inflicted such losses upon it. I did nothing. The word did everything." Luther, with this quote, recognizes the power of God's word. And it is the same for St. Paul in his epistle to the Romans. We didn't read this part of Romans today, but he says in Romans chapter 1, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." God's word is a powerful word. It does exactly what it says. And this is why, dear friends in Christ, that the Word of God has always been at the heart and center of the Lutheran Church. It is more than just religious information. It is a word that has the very power of salvation in it. This is why Luther worked so diligently on getting the Word of God into the German language. It is why the first constitution of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, our own church body, required every congregation that was opening to also open a school. This is why we spend so much time training our young people to be familiar with the Word of God, especially in those catechism class years. This is what Jesus was speaking of in today's gospel reading. He says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So God's word is so powerful that not only does it make disciples, but it also sets us free. Likewise, in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." In our age of misplaced zeal for so-called mission work that focuses on the going, we miss what Jesus is really saying in the Great Commission. We think that he's saying, go, get out there, make disciples. I've even heard some pastors say that they will do anything short of sin to bring people into their churches. This includes an LCMS pastor who recently dressed himself up in a donut costume, trying to lure people into his doors with Dunkin' Donuts. Needless to say, this is not what Jesus is saying at all. Donuts are great, don't get me wrong. They do not, however, make disciples. The main verb in the Great Commission, after all, is not go. In the Greek, it isn't even a verb. The main verbs of Jesus' words in the Great Commission are baptizing and teaching. These are what make a disciple. The focus is on the Word of God in the water and in the mouth of the preacher. It is the Word of God that makes and keeps disciples, not donuts or any other silly thing that the church might do today. Thus, as Jesus says, those who abide in it, who live in it, who remain in it, are truly his disciples. Now in our gospel reading, back to John chapter 8, Jesus also says that in addition to making disciples, this word also makes us free. The Jews who were listening to Jesus thought that he was talking about political freedom from the Romans. Unfortunately, I've seen some twist Bible passages about freedom to refer to the freedoms that we as Americans enjoy. It's kind of the same thing that the Jews were doing here. Jesus, knowing their confusion, clarifies this freedom for them and for us. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." God's word sets us free from what really enslaves us, what is truly behind the hardship that we face in this life, namely sin, death, and the power of the devil. If you wish to be free from sin, Jesus says, that freedom is found in the truth of God's word. God's word is the only thing that can cut through the lies of the devil that he tells you when he says that you're not good enough for God, or that your sin is a bridge too far and God can't possibly forgive you for it. The devil's lies fill the world, that a man can marry a man, or that killing an unborn child isn't murder. And only the word of God alone, can expose all of those lies for what they really are. God's word is truth because it does what it says. And so, dear friends in Christ, do you want to be a disciple of Jesus, free from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil? Then you must attend to the word of God because it does exactly what it says. It is the sword of truth that both wards off the lies of Satan and it strikes a death blow against the devil. This seems as good a time as any to mention the fact that we offer additional opportunities to hear God's word right here at our own parish. On Sunday mornings, we start Sunday school and Bible class at 8:30. On Wednesdays at 6:30 in the evening, we gather for Bible class downstairs. We're currently working through the book of Romans, by the way. And most importantly, we gather here every Lord's Day at 9:30 to hear the Word of God proclaimed to us. We're getting close to Thanksgiving and Advent and Christmas, which means we're going to have even more opportunities to gather together to hear the Lord's Word and to receive His gifts. We've even started to observe additional festivals of Christ that don't always fall on Sundays, that we may receive what Christ has come to give to us. Now, your flesh, like mine, will make so many excuses not to attend to the Word of God. Oh, I learned that stuff in catechism class, or oh, I need to catch up on some work around the house or on the job, or oh, we've got soccer or basketball or some kind of tournament this weekend, or oh, I haven't had a chance to rest all week, and I need to sleep in just a little bit. I'm hoping that you did learn some of this stuff in your catechism classes. And work is important too. It is good for our children to participate in recreational activities. But if we're standing before the throne of God on the last day, I imagine that it will ring pretty hollow when we say to the Lord, I chose to do something else over hearing the Word of God because it seemed really important to me at the time. We should repent in sackcloth and ashes, especially we Lutherans, for the number of things we put over hearing the Word of God. We so boldly confess that God's Word is so powerful that it does all of these wonderful things, unlike any other previous, that it does all these wonderful things, but then we turn around and we neglect it. It's no wonder that my generation, the millennial generation, has walked away from the church unlike any other generation previous. They've been shown an example by us that the Word of God isn't really that important. Woe to us. Martin Luther told a parable about the Word of God along these lines. He says, let us remember our former misery and the darkness in which we dwelt. Germany, I am sure, has never before heard so much of God's word as it is hearing today. Certainly, we read nothing of it in history. If we let it just slip by without thanks and honor, I fear we shall suffer a still more dreadful darkness and plague. Oh, my beloved Germans, buy while the market is at your door. Gather in the harvest, where there is sunshine and fair weather. Make use of God's grace and word while it is still there. For you should know that God's word and grace is like a passing shower of rain, which does not return where it once has been. It has been with the Jews, but when it's gone, it's gone. And now they have nothing. Paul brought it to the Greeks, but again, when it's gone, it's gone. And now they have the Turk. Rome and the Latins also had it, but when it's gone, it's gone. And now they have the Pope. And you Germans need not think that you will have it forever, for ingratitude and contempt will not make it stay. Therefore, seize it and hold fast, whoever can, for lazy hands are bound to have a lean year. Luther was certainly a prophet. Europe was once the greatest stronghold of Christianity, but now its churches sit as empty museums. In England, where my people are from, they have started to build amusement parks in their great cathedrals, complete with fun slides and mini golf. It was in these places that God's people once gathered around the Word of God and the atonement of Jesus as the antidote of sin and death. But they are now nothing more than a monument to the past, a history that the European cultural elites and Islamic invaders seek to erase. For a long time, it appeared that the church in America was bucking this trend in the Western world. But in the last decade or so, the number of people who don't identify with any religion at all is soaring. And maybe as many as 30% of our fellow Americans by the year 2030. That's before, well, I don't know, when are my kids graduating from high school? I don't even know. Probably not before then. But the point is made, not too far in the future. In other words, the lean years are already upon us. We may be able to survive on a minimal diet of God's word now, but what about our children? And what about our grandchildren? The Jews balked at the idea that they needed God's word to be free. And will we modern Lutherans be any different than they? I pray to God that it is so. Jesus says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Dear friends in Christ, God's word does what it says. Let us make use of this life-giving word even now. Let us feast on this bread from heaven. Jesus says, "The words that I have spoken are spirit and life." I'd love to see each one of you pick one of the Bible studies that we offer and make it a priority. Make coming to church your priority. The catechism kids will tell you that when we memorize the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by making it holy, they're taught that it means that we're making it our top priority. Not because your salvation depends on what you do, but because it desperately depends on the bleeding and dying Christ, who gives you the victory through that word and through his sacraments. Let us make the word of God the beating heart of what it is that we do as Lutherans. Let us read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest it. Let us put it as frontlets before our eyes, and let us write it on our doorposts. Let us eat and drink the very body and blood of Jesus, for the words written here, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, tell us that in the sacrament, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation are given through these words. Then, as we sleep and eat and drink Wittenberg beer with our friends, God's word will break the powers of hell that seek to keep us in slavery. Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Curb those who by deceit or sword would wrest the kingdom from your Son and bring to naught all he has done. Lord Jesus Christ, your power make known, for you are Lord of lords alone. Defend your holy church that we may sing your praise eternally. O Comforter of priceless worth, send peace and unity on earth. Support us in our final strife and lead us out of death to life. In Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.